Well, back in late June, you may remember, we introduced you to a newly formed citizens group here in Quincy called A Just Quincy, formed in response to the pay raises that were approved for the mayor and the city council and an effort to repeal those. That effort was not successful. However, the group is growing, and we're here to get an update on what's next. So please welcome back Joe Murphy and Maggie McKee, and welcome for the first time Spencer Henderson. So great to see you all. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Yeah, pleasure to kind of get a refresh. I was looking back, it was I think it was June 29th or 26th, somewhere around there, that we first talked and introduced folks to A Just Quincy. So Joe, maybe for folks who don't know, a little bit of background about the organization.
Sure. A Just Quincy, like you said, started as individuals who were, you know, a little concerned with the large pay raises that the mayor and city council approved and voted for them, proposed and voted for themselves back in the spring. And so we, noticing that there was a lot of the same people writing letters and talking about it online, we decided to form a group. I picked the name called Just Quincy because that's kind of what I think we're going for here. And it, like you said, it has been growing. In fact, Maggie and I co-founded the group, and Spencer is now on the third member of our executive committee, and we're planning on doing some more organizing later in the fall. But that's what we've been doing, and like you said, we tried to get a repeal petition in place. We fell short, but we did much better than a lot of people expected. And so we really didn't let up over the summer. We were organizing, and we continued writing letters, and then we just that took us up to the first night of city council back in session, and we had a rally, which was pretty successful.
The 9-9 rally.
The 9-9 rally, that's right.
Which kind of started outside, tried to continue inside, and then went back outside, right?
Yeah. So we did start outside. We had some speeches.
Yep.
We had a good turnout, and we always intended to attend the meeting. And what a lot of people in Just Quincy, they don't go to a lot of these meetings. This is kind of new for them. They were surprised that there was no public forum part of the city council meetings, at least not regularly scheduled. And so what we did, and it was mildly naughty, was we... one of our members got up during the National Grid land use things and basically said, no problem with this telephone pole or whatever it was, but we think you guys should rethink the raises. And that is where things, you know, got a little chaotic, but there was a big response from those of us in the audience, a standing ovation and some unorganized back and forth between President Ian Kane and those in attendance. And you know, we're not anarchists. We didn't want to disrupt the meeting any further, and so when things calmed down, we decided to leave at that point. And right. Then we chanted outside the rest of the meeting.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess, where do you go from here? And before we get into that part of it, I want to kind of bring Spencer into the group here, because folks are new to Spencer, myself included. So learn a little bit about yourself first.
I got involved really because of the raise situation.
Okay.
So I've been living in Quincy for over 20 years.
Okay.
And originally was renting in West Quincy, ended up moving in to another apartment where I met my wife as a roommate originally. And we ended up buying our house in 2012. Now we've got two kids, ages 7 and 9. Their birthdays are in about a month. So really enjoying that part of fatherhood and parenthood. We're having a great time with that. I'm a financial planner, is my 9-to-5. I do a lot of things extracurricularly in terms of, you know, DJing, or I'm a bit of a nerd in terms of like role-playing games, things like that. So, you know, kind of consider myself well-rounded, but you know, being a father, taking care of the family, and it's been my priorities. I never really thought to be much more engaged other than an active voter in Quincy in general. Mm-hmm. I just was like, well, you know, we're living here, things seem to be moving along fine, and didn't really have any qualms. You know, I voted in every election, and that was sort of just felt like I was doing my part.
Yes,
you know.
Sure.
And then when this raise came up, it really caught my attention, because I was thinking, well, where's the dialogue here? And I'm not saying that voters need to vote on exactly how much of a dollar raise any position, you know, should have. Mm-hmm. But what really got my eye was the fact that it was voted on, you know, in a finance committee, mm-hmm. is also the city council members,
correct.
The full membership.
Yes.
So the membership is voting on their own elections and the mayor's raise, and there's no accountability. There's no, you know, there was the Dormison report or something that came
yes.
out said it should be something astronomical over 300,000, and then there was like, oh, well, we'll pare it back down to 285 or something like that, and you know, and I was going like, these people are all voting on their own salaries?
Right.
Like, this seems egregious and ripe for corruption. You know, it really, you know, the foxes running the hen house type of scenario was the only thing I could think of, because what's to prevent them from, why did they set those limits? Why not go higher? I guess it would come down to there would be more people like us, you know, engaged and whatnot. So, you know, but it really seemed odd to me that there wasn't any more accountability and request maybe for input or ability for input.
Okay.
It almost felt like there was a lot of, you know, pushback for receiving input. And it made me start to, I guess, activate a little bit more and realize that there was more going on. You know, it was like, well, if this salary is one thing, like, what else is there that's been going on that maybe we, you know, haven't been involved in or engaged with, or that could really use some more, you know, community involvement. So it sort of sparked me into realizing that, hey, I wasn't born in Quincy, but this is my home. We're not planning on leaving. I've got kids, we're raising a family, like, I've got my future here.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to sort of just be more involved.
Okay, all right. How did you come in contact with A Just Quincy, with Joe and Maggie here?
Yeah, through the salary
issue. Okay.
It didn't take long to find some people who were doing some organizing.
I see.
And
okay.
As I mentioned, you know, one of the things I did with DJing, I was like, hey, if I can DJ an event or something like that.
Oh,
like, basically, okay. Just trying to figure out, like, what can I do to get involved?
Right.
And, you know, I do recognize that this is still new to me. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But I'm learning as quickly as I can, given everything else going on in life. I see this as being just one step of being part of a larger community and being more involved, and not just in my neighborhood or something like that, but looking about, like, what's the future of Quincy going to look like, and how can we be more actively involved in this process?
Okay, all right. Yeah. Maggie, you've brought with you a whole basket full of the
yeah.
over, what, 6,000 plus signatures that Just Quincy collected
yeah.
during the effort to repeal the raises. So, I mean, you came relatively close in a relatively short period of time, right?
We did.
Yeah.
We needed about 8,000.
Yeah.
So it's like 12% of the registered
yeah.
voters. That's for the mayor. These are for the
so
city
just to
council.
Get a visual as to,
just to yeah. get a visual,
what it actually looks like, right?
There was actually Councillor Bill Harris, who's in Ward 6.
Yes.
He had made a comment in the Patriot Ledger that he wasn't sure if we actually had these, so I wanted to kind of bring them in
okay.
to say, like, and you're welcome to take a look at them. We didn't want to actually turn them into the city clerk unless we had enough to meet the threshold to repeal.
Yeah.
Because we heard from, like, all of our volunteers heard from people that they were really scared to sign, actually. Even the people who ended up signing were scared that it would somehow come back to them, and maybe they worked in the city or they had a loved one who worked in the city and they didn't. It just made them really nervous. So the people who signed sometimes really did so. Maybe it was the second time they ran across one of our volunteer signature collectors and they decided to do it. So we made that promise to them. So we're not going to turn them into the city clerk.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I personally counted all of these names.
Yeah,
and
there was a lot of engagement from our group,
yeah.
volunteers, as far as going out, standing out,
yes.
getting signatures,
yes.
You know, and really trying to drum that up. And again, just to bring it back to the time frame, that was, we had about 2 weeks, just about, to get over 8,000 signatures, and it was also 4th of July holiday week.
That's right.
Week, couple weeks. So the fact that we got that close, I saw as a big moral victory in a sense of, given the short time, the quick organization that was needed, so on and so forth. So really, like, even though we did fall short technically of that that number we were looking for, it really gave me some hope that there was a larger movement that, you know, and I think, you know, I want to reiterate, this isn't really just about the salaries,
okay,
too. Like, our group, our mission has expanded beyond purely a salary issue.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask, what if you succeeded?
Yeah. You
know, I mean, what if you succeeded and got the raises repealed? Then what happens to Just Quincy, right?
Right.
Well, I think the intensity might have notched down a bit.
Right.
But the idea of having community feedback and access and response and dialogue in the open with our elected leaders is something that I think applies even without this particular issue.
Okay.
And I've been doing some research,
yep,
in recent days, actually, just calling around. So Quincy is a Plan A city,
mm-hmm,
which has a strong mayor type and a kind of a weaker council, but both were elected. And so I've looked at the other Plan A cities in Massachusetts,
mm-hmm,
and then I was calling the city offices for those ones that are the same, around the same size.
So, okay,
I called six of the ones that are closest in size to Quincy.
Which ones, Maggie?
Just
a couple, even.
Yeah. So Boston, Springfield, Fall River, Lynn, Newton, Somerville.
Okay.
I've been just kind of finding out how much the public can actually weigh in at council meetings,
yes,
or,
yep,
public hearings. And
what have you found?
Most of them have more public comment opportunities than Quincy. So kind of standouts for me were Springfield, which is a little bigger than Quincy, at 156,000.
Mm-hmm.
Every council meeting has a speak out for 30 minutes before the council meeting starts, where anyone is allowed to come up and speak for 3 minutes.
I think that's key, before the council
meeting starts. So it's not during the proper council meeting, but it's, you know, part of the regular schedule of the government.
Okay.
And then Fall River, which is a little smaller at 94,000, has what they call citizen input time,
mm-hmm,
at every single council meeting, mm, and every committee meeting as well of the council. And I think they do this in the boards and commissions as well.
Okay.
And I just thought that was really wonderful. And for Lynn, population 101,000, they recently gave their city councilors a raise. They also have part-time city councilors. They have 11 part-time city councilors. And they had a public hearing for this, for the raise for the councilors.
Yeah.
So it's been, and some of the cities are doing reviews of their city charter,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. So it's been really interesting to see what similar cities are doing,
mm-hmm,
compared to Quincy, and I don't feel like Quincy is stacking up well compared to these other cities.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say Just Quincy is advocating for a similar type of public comment period?
Yeah,
during council meetings?
We're going to be really,
yeah,
wanting more.
So would that require a charter change or a charter update in the city, do you know? Or what would be the process for that? Because I've worked,
yeah,
in Quincy for almost 40 years, and this has always been the process,
yes,
the,
yes,
way council meetings have been run. Yeah.
Some of these cities have ordinances,
okay,
about how the city council meetings will run.
Okay.
So it might just be an ordinance.
Okay.
Our city charter is out of date, as we discovered through this process, because in the city charter, it says any raises would have to be, would not take place until after an election, so that people could vote on,
mm-hmm,
them, and also in the following term.
Right.
But the state law that
supersedes
it's based
that
on,
yeah,
supersedes it. But anyway, some of these other communities are updating their city charters regularly,
okay,
as well. So just kind of a lot of things are happening in some of these places.
Sure.
That would be great to bring to Quincy, I think.
And more recently, somewhat to this point, mm-hmm, the school committee had made some changes to their meeting structure to shorten the window for public engagement, which is exactly counter to this sort of mission that we're focused on. So it just, it's concerning in terms of if this is the sentiment coming from the elected officials in terms of the direction to go, you know, means we may be fighting an uphill battle here to try to get that.
Yeah, so all these names, all these signatures, Maggie, that, so they'll remain anonymous at the, for now, right?
Confidential, yeah. Yeah, we've made a promise to the people because people were so nervous, so, but we're very happy to show it to like an objective journalist, if any journalist wants to look at them.
Independent journalists.
Independent.
Or, okay.
We don't want them to go to be seen by the city because we made this promise and because people were nervous.
Just to that point too, you know, I was following up recently. It was down in Florida. There was an article I was reading from, it was at Tallahassee or something. But a million voters had signed a petition to add the issue of abortion rights to the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the governor had sent law enforcement officials to go to the homes of some of the people who signed to verify things, and it seems to be, you know, taken as a more of a threatening
effect,
you know, sort of so, you know, there is cause for, there's reason for the concern. I'm hoping that would never be the case here, but it could, and if people are signing kind of with the intention of I'd really not like to put myself at risk, it's our duty to try to honor that as much as possible. Of course, if we had the full amount, then we'd be having a different conversation about what's happening with the salaries, the referendum would have gone through, things like that. So it would have been a little different story. But in this case, it's really just people like, I'd like to support this, but, you know.
And I'd like to point out that we don't have a position on whether there is reason for fear from the people who are nervous about signing.
Right.
We haven't been able to look into that. But the fact that there is a perception or a feeling matters to us. Mm-hmm. So we want to honor that with, you know, by not releasing the names.
Yeah. So how do you keep all these folks engaged, though? It's obvious they have at least concern, you know, or some type of interest in this issue. So how do you keep all these people engaged in your mission?
Well, we have the website. Yeah. I write about 2 blog pieces a week. We have a pretty healthy mailing list. We wish we would have had a mailing list going along with these signs. Some of the people did join our mailing list, but we didn't think to, you know, we're new.
Yes.
We're learning. Yeah. But our mailing list is pretty healthy, and so far there's not been, you know, we have one of those apps now that we can see, and pretty much we have a very high open rate for the people reading our newsletter.
That's right.
You know, so. And the fact that 9-9 turned out as healthy, the turnout was as healthy as it was, I think says we're doing something right, but we're always looking to improve
okay.
as well.
All right.
We had our first meeting at the library this summer with more than 50 people. It was the circle kept having to be expanded.
We didn't put out enough chairs.
Okay, all right, okay.
And we're planning another meeting on Zoom for members in the next 2 weeks,
okay.
so 2 weeks from now. So we're gonna try to get into working groups so that people who wanna do research on certain things can do
because
that.
That's the trick, right? When you're dealing with a larger group of people who all have their own, I mean, there is a focus here on the salary, but also the accountability and transparency. But the trick is trying to find a way to keep everybody engaged and feeling like they're part of able to do something themselves. And obviously everybody has their own set of skills that they can bring to the table. So the trick, you know, that we're working on now is trying to find a way to identify the people who are most interested, what facet of this they'd like to focus on.
Yep.
Because otherwise it's overwhelming. There's so many, different facets to this that we need to go into, and it could be things like organizing, going out and, you know, getting signatures, things like that, active engagement. And there may be people who just say, I don't want to do that, but they have other sets of skills that they can bring to the table. So we want to just give everybody a chance to feel like they can really contribute.
Yeah. As I understand, I Just Quincy is looking for candidates to step up in the next municipal election, right, to run for city council?
That's our next phase.
Okay.
And we're starting it now.
Okay.
We're putting out word that we would like to hear from people who maybe think about running but don't even know how to start, mm-hmm. because we have some experience in the Just Quincy. We have, I've run a few times. Mm-hmm. I think that we have other people around who are familiar with the process. Maybe they campaign for other people. So when I ran for office, I had no idea what to do. In fact, and I was scared to ask because I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was doing. And so if people who are, if that's their concern, come on in, because okay. we know how to advise you on that. We know where the papers are. We know, don't bother with this, bother with that. We know how to deal with OCPF rules and stuff like that.
The finance.
Office of Campaign yeah. Political Finance.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. And there's, so getting people involved, engaged. I mean, the concern also, just in the sense of kind of when we think about, well, what's next, what are the next steps, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, the obviously pushing, continuing with the signatures that drive behind that, addressing the salaries, we're going to continue to do that.
Okay.
But we also recognize that even if we were, if there was something that was a purely legal situation that we could be like, oh, we could address this, our guess is that it would take a while before anything were to really to come to fruition from that type
yeah.
of work. So that's where the focus is shifting, you know, not shifting, but we want to maintain that focus on, well, you know, a lot of these counselors, and you know, I don't know many of them personally, mm-hmm. so I have no personal opinion
sure.
in terms of, you know, their intentions or their personalities or things. I've only seen the votes and how things have been handled, and I'm in disagreement with some of it. And there may be reasons for some of that I don't understand, but you know, we can, I just lost my train of thought there, but basically want to get involved. Oh, we can present other options. A lot of these counselors have run unopposed. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems bizarre to me that there wouldn't be people that would want to be engaged and actually, you know, in a position of power to help create that change.
Yes, so are either of any of you considering running for city council next year?
I'm not.
You're not. Okay. Maggie?
I've thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Oh. As I'm doing this research, I'm kind of getting excited about like what changes could be made to the city, but I'm also not sure. I'm happy to
sure.
support other people, so.
Okay. Yeah. Spencer?
I'd say it's on the table.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's my main drive, but
okay.
You know, the bottom line is I'm very engaged in this, and I don't see myself walking away from it. I think it's a really important
okay.
issue. And if I can do something to help influence that, and that's what it takes, then, you know, possibly.
Well, engagement seems to be a mission of another organization, Maggie, that you're involved with, right? Quincy
right.
Votes.
Right. Yeah.
Engaging and educating about the democratic process in the city, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Quincy Votes is doing a lot of great stuff. We just had our September meeting, and we have a member, Shiv, who's great at strategizing. So because the next year's election is a local election, she has done a study of all the voter turnout rates mm-hmm. for every election going back, I don't know, 16 or 20 years or something. And she's found that, you know, local elections have the worst turnout, and then as you kind of go up to national elections, they can actually get to 70%
oh, certainly,
or,
yeah.
you know, much higher.
Yeah.
But the local elections, like last time was, I think it was just under 30%.
That sounds right, yeah.
So, and sometimes it depends, you know, if there's a different candidates will bring out more people. But mm-hmm. anyway, she's got a plan. If I were to run, I would step back from these activities because
to avoid a conflict.
Conflict of
right,
interest.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm not sure. Who knows? I'm.
No, I know
every
it's
day
early.
I'm up,
I know
up
it's.
And down.
We're in September 2024, yeah. so I understand it's,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
early, yeah.
But anyway, Quincy Votes will continue to do the work. There's a lot of people in that group as well who are very motivated about the democratic process and increasing engagement. So whether or not I'm there, it's kind of ticking along. We have these amazing, we have two board members who are high school students. Unfortunately, they're graduating, so I'm sad because this is their last year, but they're amazing, and they've been going out in the community, and they're hoping to do a voting registration and pre-registration event at
okay.
the high school. So it's kind of ticking along really well. right now.
A Just Quincy, I believe, has an event coming up on Halloween. Is that right?
Actually, that is a separate group.
Oh.
There's another group forming that. This is what Spencer was talking about with different gifts, different skills.
Yes.
And this other group really wants to focus on grassroots sit-ins, holding signs.
Civil disobedience kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. As obedient as they can be.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But they are not as engaged with this larger mission that a Just Quincy's going to head towards.
All right.
But, you know, I see... I would imagine we'll show up at each other's events. You know, there's a lot of overlap, and we all started from the same issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Messages that you want to deliver to your individual city councilors right now, you know, with regards to transparency, accountability. Joe?
I would say my message, I think, would be to my fellow citizens more than...
Okay.
It's that... There's been a very powerful incumbency where the people who have gained office are there for as long as they want to be in most cases. And when that happens, they start to stop listening. They stop listening because I think they've just gotten used to it. They know what's going on. They don't believe that the citizens know what's going on. I hear a lot from the counselors that you don't understand what's happening in the background. And so because of that, they start to tune out. And the fact that the mayor at the school committee meeting brought up that we're a republic, you know, more so than a democracy, what he's saying is, you voted for us, let us do our thing. And I don't think that's how our city should run. I think they should be coming to us and talking to us. Do they have to go with a mob rule? No, but they should at least know where we stand. And the fact that these raises went through without any public input, and not only did they go through, they went through smoothly. Like, there was really no pushback. There was no discussion. There was no negotiation on the part of the people you represent. It was just what's good for each other here at this table. It became a city of 10. And 10 people made a decision that benefited 10 people. And I think that's something to tune into.
Okay. Can I get your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think we had a page on our website that suggested that people write to their city councilors urge them to voluntarily rescind the raises, which we know is a long shot, but we were tracking the response rates, and so very few councilors responded to their constituents. And I just think the more we understand that, I would urge councilors to start responding and hold, you know, ward meetings and more public hearings, because it's possible these other cities are doing it, and it's not, there's no reason not to.
Okay.
So that's my message, is I think people should be responsive, and then if they're not, then next year we'll hopefully have a slate of candidates who will, you know, make a vow to be responsive, be transparent, be accountable, hold meetings, have newsletters. Some of the councilors do, but yeah.
Okay, all right. And Spencer?
I mean, I think you guys covered really all the bases. I don't have much to add other than just reiterating the transparency piece being, you know, what I think is key, having engaged communication. Again, to Joe's point, I'm not looking to try to say something like every person should have what they want done. Obviously, that's unreasonable. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like it's a one-way line of communication that comes from our elected officials, and I think it would be very easy to address that through more public forums. It doesn't have to be even at a city council level. It can be on a ward level, whatever. Just something where it's kind of saying, hey, we want to hear from you about, you know, what's going on here. And because the thing is, obviously, the wards are there for a reason, different parts of Quincy, different neighborhoods, you know, so everyone is usually more concerned about their neighborhood than others. But, you know, to be able to bring on a public forum questions, share ideas, I think that's really going to like create a more vibrant and healthy city.
Okay. All right. Anything else anybody'd like to add right now? Go to your website, check your social media.
Check
right?
it out. Yeah. Read my blog.
Okay. yeah, adjustquincy.com. Right. It's, Joe's really good with his blogs, and we do work together to try to make sure that the messaging is in alignment with our values, and we've got a great group of people who are highly energetic and motivated. So,
great to talk to you all. Really appreciate the opportunity, and we'll have you back.
Thanks, Joe.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thanks for watching us here at AEM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. See you next time.